Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
What a day, friends. Hello, it is Wednesday. Is it Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
July 9th. This year is just trucking along, isn't it?
It is. You know what's going to be here before you know it. Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah.
What are you laughing about? Why is Christmas isn't funny?
Is that a
Christmas
joke to you,
is
Matt?
A magical time. This we should be excited. We could have Christmas in July.
The youth these days. They think everything's a joke.
Yeah, I don't care for them.
I don't care for it either.
314-436-7900. Join us, won't you? Odyssey app. We have that where you listen to us live and get the podcast later. You can also get the podcast wherever you get your podcast typically. But leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app, and we would like for you to stare at us while we talk. And you can do that.
That way.
You can do that with YouTube, Facebook, you know, KMOX News, you find us, or Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, it has finally happened. The Gateway Arch Park Foundation has closed on the former Millennium Hotel property, so that derelict vacant building. It will soon, hopefully very soon, become something cool downtown.
And Ronji wants those weeds.
I want the weeds from the roof.
I mean, it is a huge day for Chris Ronji because also Sheriff Alfred Montgomery's hearing today, or hearing begins today, I should say, with Attorney General Andrew Bailey pushing for the sheriff to be removed from office. Ronji's Save My Sheriff SMS campaign is on the rocks.
Cardinals beat the Nationals last night. They started the game at 9 o'clock, a lengthy rain delay, but they get the win. They'll play again tonight, 6:45. And guess what? At 9:30, so coming up here very shortly, 25 minutes from now, we are going to talk to Adam Wainwright.
Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie will be on the show.
Awesome.
We will talk to Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard. We're going to talk about Covenant House, which was our charity of the week last week. And as we do our 100 acts of kindness in partnership with Jerry Kelly, heating and air conditioning and electrical. And Shamim has gone through the experience that they do the sleep out thing where they, you know, you learn what it's like to live on the street for a night. So we're going to talk to her about that. Some other things going on. John Rooney, she'll join us at 10. John Rooney at 10:30. And we hope to check in with reporter Sean Malone, who's pulling double duty today. So he's very, very busy. He's covering the Millennium Hotel. He's covering Sheriff Montgomery's hearing. So this could end up being, for me, a very great day. Could be a bad day, too. If something, you know, bad happens to my sheriff.
Yeah.
Also, if I don't get those weeds from the roof of the Millennium Hotel, that could be a bad thing, too. So one way or the other, this is a very big day for me.
Yeah. Yes. The good news is the executive director of the Gateway Arch National Park, Ryan McClure, is a friend of the show.
Yes.
And you have made your weed wishes known to Mr. McClure.
Now, he seemed lukewarm on it.
I will say he was very noncommittal about the weeds.
But he didn't say no.
Here's what it felt like to me, that it was an absolutely not, but I'm going to be diplomatic about it. And so he equivocated extensively. I don't know that you're going to get those weeds. If anybody listening right now is either with Cordish, which is the St. Louis Cardinals development partner on Ballpark Village, they are the ones doing the $670 million remake of the Millennium property along with the Gateway Arch Park Foundation. Maybe Cordish or the Gateway Arch Park Foundation. Anybody has any help on getting those weeds off the top of the building? Ron would like to put them in a pot and put them in his new home.
I would be so happy for people to come over and say, what is that? And I'd say, well, funny story. You ever been to Busch Stadium? You ever been to a Cardinals game and then just looked out at the skyline during the game and you see this cylindric hotel? Is that the right word?
Well,
cylindrical?
Cylindrical.
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 Close enough. So you see this hotel.
That's
really
adorable.
It was a fun building. Yeah, I used to go to that building. We used to, you know, come in from out of town when I was in college and stay there for tournaments and whatnot. And, you know, you look up there and you see the rooftop and you look closer and you think, are those are weeds.
Yeah.
There are weeds growing out of the top of a building in a prominent place in downtown St. Louis where you can see them while the Cardinals game is going on. And all I want is to have those weeds in my house. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's too much to ask.
It's not a big ask. Here's the thing, though, that just really occurred to me. Have you ever seen a moose in real life?
No.
You haven't.
Do they have those at the zoo? Probably not.
But picture a moose in your head. Everybody do this right now. Picture how big you think a moose is. You're all wrong. It's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger. I think Jim Gaffigan even does a bit about this, that however big you think a moose is, you're wrong. It's huge. It's like 12 feet tall. Okay. Mm-hmm. I bring this up because.
Bigger than Clydesdales, I think, aren't they?
Oh, way bigger than Clydesdale. A moose could step on a Clydesdale.
Yeah.
And I bring this up because when you think of the Millennium Hotel, I always picture the roof being like level with the edge that you're looking at, but it's not. That roof probably is down about 4, 5, 6 feet minimum from the edge that you're looking at, right? The roof is not completely flat like an iced cake. Second of all, if you can see weeds from the ballpark, I have a feeling these weeds might
pretty
be
big.
Like 12 feet tall, Raj.
Pretty big.
I think
yeah.
it might be more like a tree. In my head, I was going to bring like a little 6-inch pot. You know, like a yard
oh,
weed.
Oh, no.
These weeds, I think, are going to be 10 feet tall. They have to be. If they can grow over the edge of the roof, like I said, the roots are not even with the edge of the roof that we see. The roots have to be 4 or 5 or 6 feet lower than that. And then you can see them from the ballpark. I think you're going to have 10 to 12 foot weeds.
So you wonder
moose
why we're talking
height.
About these stupid weeds.
Yes.
And it is a bit of a joke. But I thought they were very indicative over the last, because I moved back here in 2017 and I went to a Cardinals game that year. And that's when I noticed them for the first time. I thought that's a really bad look. And all that we talk about with St. Louis and how much improvement we need. And, you know, visitors coming in and exploring downtown, and there's not a whole lot to do. And they probably can walk several blocks and not really run into very many businesses. You know, just there's just a lot that you can take issue with. And I just thought to have this prominent place in downtown, all of this space and this building is vacant. How many major cities have something like that? Have this building right in the heart of downtown, right by the jewel of your city, which is Busch Stadium. You know, other than the arch itself, you've got Busch Stadium, which is a tourist attraction, and you have people coming in. And if they look around, you'll look up in the outfield and you see this building with weeds growing out of the roof. And I always thought that was indicative of just where we were as a city. And I just thought it looked really, really bad.
Well, I can tell you how many cities have that. And the answer is not many. You know why? Because when the Hollywood producers who filmed Escape from New York were looking...
In the 80s,
were looking for a city that gave post-apocalyptic New York City vibes, they chose St. Louis because...
They chose Midtown.
Yes, they chose St. Louis because, listen to this, because of its abundance of older buildings and a certain, quote, seedy, rundown quality.
Yeah.
That's how they described St. Louis.
Yeah.
So we...
And so, I mean, there were a couple of things there. And one of them is, so this has been a viewpoint of the city for quite some time, because that's back in the 80s we're talking about,
81.
Right? So it's just, I know it's not the biggest deal in the world. And I made a joke of those stupid weeds, but it seems like a symptom of a problem that I hope we are on the road to addressing. And this sale going through and the plans, we've seen the, you know, we've seen the sketches of what they plan to do with that area, residential office space.
They are, just in case you're wondering, they are knocking down the original
towers of
the Millennium Hotel.
And I have good memories there. I love that hotel. I wish it hadn't gone derelict. But the fact that something is moving forward, they're going to do something with it, that makes me happy. because that's the sort of progress we need in the city. And I'm sure not everybody is happy with this project, but man, I don't know how you can find a whole lot of fault with it. And it's we have to do it. We have to do stuff like that. And I hope that it breeds more of it in the area because we desperately need it in the city.
And Cordish, as we mentioned, partnered with the Cardinals to do Ballpark Village. What a brilliant, fun, classy, gorgeous setting downtown. So excited about what they'll do with that old Millennium Hotel site. Speaking of the Cardinals, by the way, Ronch, today, this morning, I was running with the Forest Park Track Club, and a couple of guys mentioned that they did not go to the Cardinals game because they said they couldn't do a 9 o'clock start on a weekday.
9 o'clock start on a weekday. Pretty rough. Interesting night at the ballpark last night. And if you stayed, good for you. But
give us a shout.
Us a shout. We'd like to hear from you. If you stayed for a game that ended up starting at 9 o'clock, we'd like to hear from you. 314-436-7900. Amy Markscores, Chris Ronji. It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Anyway. So last night, they told everybody, I mean, like 3 hours before the game actually started, or before the 9 o'clock first pitch. So like about 6 o'clock, I think, the Cardinals tweeted out that they were not going to start on time because of rain in the area. And I appreciate that. I think everybody appreciates that. You'd like to know. But I'm stunned that they, I guess I'm not. I shouldn't say that I'm stunned, but they didn't start the game until 9 o'clock, which is very late for it to not be like a playoff game or something like that. But I know what it is. It's because they've had 6 doubleheaders already this year, and we are barely halfway through the season. They didn't want to play another doubleheader tomorrow or Thursday.
I forgot.
So I don't blame them, I guess.
What is the doubleheader rule that's in the CBA about split doubleheaders? There can only be so many,
and then you have to ask
the players.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many it is, but there is a rule. And there should be, because split doubleheaders are awful. The Cardinals don't want to lose the gate money. And so I think people understand this, but if you don't, if there is a doubleheader and it's the straight doubleheader where you play a game, wait a half hour, play another, you only get the ticket sales for one game, as opposed to play the game, clear everybody out of the ballpark, bring everybody who has tickets for the other game back in, then you get ticket sales for both. I don't think the Cardinals wanted to forfeit another game, and I don't blame them for that, because that's a lot of revenue for one day. So that is completely understandable. I'm wondering how many people wait through a rain delay like that.
314-436-7900. Call or text or leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. But yeah, would love to hear from you about waiting through a long rain delay.
Because I will tell you this, when I was growing up and then got into high school, and then when I was back home for summers in college, and I would go to Cardinals games, I loved it when there was the threat of rain, because I liked the idea of getting to sit through the rain delay, find a place in the ballpark, hang out, you know, have a hot dog, have another soda, you know, while the rain comes down, and you find a place where you have some cover. And that meant you get to be in the park for another couple of extra hours. I loved it. But then I started working in baseball, and I hated rain delays. They were the worst, because the games are already 3.5 hours, and then you have this hour or 2 hour rain delay. Just, you know, I know nobody felt sorry for me working in baseball, but still, it was a lot.
So speaking of rain delays, I don't even want to bring this up because it is one of the worst moments of my life. I say that I'm being dramatic. One of the worst non-actually traumatic moments of my life, right? Where you're just, I cried. So they always say that, you know, doing the right thing helps you sleep at night. You never regret doing the right thing. And I have always stood by that, except for this one time. I regret doing the right thing. So I was playing college hockey in 2006, and I had tickets. You can correct me on the rain out game. I thought it was game 4, but I had tickets to game 5 for the World Series. in 2006. I had those tickets. And whatever game was rained out, I cannot remember.
I don't either.
In the World Series. Game five. Game. Well, when did they win the World Series? What game? In six games or five games in 2006?
Six.
Okay. That was so uncertain. At any rate, I had tickets to game five and it was rained out. So whatever they did is they flipped it so that if you had tickets to that game, you got tickets to game six. They basically flipped it because they canceled the game.
Five games.
Five, okay. Okay, then it was 3 and 4. At any rate, I was playing college.
Unimportant detail.
Unimportant. But I was college hockey at the time. And we had a big tournament that weekend where we were hosting, like, I don't know, Colorado and Chicago. And I was the worst one on the team, so I didn't always dress for the games. And if I did dress, I didn't get ice time. So I had these tickets. The game got rained out, and I said, hey, I can't make game six. I'll swap out game five tickets with you, or four and five, whatever it is the number is. So we swapped them out. And, of course, we all know the Cardinals won the World Series on the game that I had tickets to that I gave up for my hockey tournament because I realized just because you're the worst one on the team, you can't say, well, I'm not going to go to the games because I'm not going to play anyway. I dressed for both games. I was cold because I think I had one shift in two games. Literally played 45 seconds in back-to-back games. I got off the ice from the second game just as Yadier Molina was rushing Adam Wainwright because he was the closer in that series, and they won the World Series. I took off my equipment, which wasn't sweaty because I didn't play. I drove home, and I cried in bed because I had tickets to a World Series winning game, and I gave them up because I did the right thing because I knew.
The right thing is to go to the World Series and support your hometown.
You can't say, I'm not going to show up for my team because I'm the worst one.
Yes, you can, because you're showing up for your real team, the team that you've been following your whole life.
I told my college coach, I said, hey, I had tickets to this game, and I know I needed to be a team player. And I showed up for the turn.
And he said, we didn't even know you were here.
Yeah, he goes, wow, if I were you, I would have gone to the World Series.
Yeah, because
you're the least important player. But I just thought that was such a bad attitude from me to say, just because I'm not getting ice time, I'm not going to show up. But
no, that's not why.
I have regretted that.
Yeah.
And this was this wasn't a rec league.
Because do you
it wasn't rec league. It was college hockey.
Amy, you understand that you will never
get that chance again.
Never. You will never in your entire life.
You don't need to remind me.
Have tickets for a game clincher in the World Series.
I'm the only person who knows how Dan Marino feels. He went to the Super Bowl his freshman year of the NFL, his rookie year.
Oh.
And he never went back. Never won.
Oh.
That's how I feel.
No. You are far less talented than Dan Marino.
I feel like Dan Marino. He'll never have that chance again. He went to the Super Bowl his rookie year, never won his whole career. Never, ever lifted the Lombardi Trophy.
Right. So, I guess.
I had the tickets for the World Series clinching game in my hand, and I didn't go.
Ridiculous.
Do you know?
Ridiculous.
I cannot tell you this keeps me up at night.
It should. It should.
I was trying to be a team player. I was trying to not be selfish. I knew I wouldn't play, but I got that spot on the team and another girl did not. I beat someone else for that last spot on the team and she cried when she didn't make the team and she left. I had that spot. I valued that spot. I wanted to be a good team player because they kept me on that team because I was like Rudy.
I
was an inspiration.
Nobody would have blamed you for exhibiting a little civic pride. Nobody was going to be upset with you.
Well, I learned that now, but I was trying to be a team player. You know, I would do that for this stupid show. I would probably be like, well, I can't leave Ranji and Matt here, even though I have World Series tickets. Mm. That's what I did.
Man, I would leave you for Battlehawks tickets. Love the Battlehawks. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. We're with you until 12 o'clock today. Then it's the Gas House Gang. Tom Akron and me, we'll talk some baseball with you. But when we come back, the person who closed out that game that Amy didn't go to, Adam Wainwright, he joins the show next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
2-1 pitch with two outs. A swing and it's popped up. Tommy Edman goes out. He's under it. He makes the catch. It's a Waino Redbird winner. 200 career victories for Adam Wainwright. Light up the night for Waino.
Coming Coming up on July 27th at the Factory in Chesterfield, it is the Big League Bash featuring our next guest, Adam Wainwright, and friends. So that is, we're just a couple of weeks away from that, so you want to get your tickets for it. And we are joined now on the guest line by former Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright. He is with us now. How's it going, Adam?
Great. Thanks for playing that hype music, man. That was awesome.
Well, it felt good, right? Well, let me give you just a little bit of something that's going to make you feel worse. My partner here, Amy, she had tickets for the game in the World Series that you closed it out.
Because of the rain out, my tickets got switched, so I got the game-winning tickets.
And she missed it to go play hockey.
So
I just want you to know that she did not see the only opportunity she'll ever have to go to a World Series clincher.
Adam, I have to clarify that I know I threw away that opportunity. I was playing college ice hockey at the time. I was the worst one on the team, and I felt like I couldn't just not show up because I knew I wouldn't get ice time. I was trying to make the right team decision, and normally you don't feel bad after making the right decision, but I feel terrible.
Yeah, I get that, and to his point, I don't feel any worse about it, but you should.
I do. I didn't even get any ice time, Adam. I was terrible. But I know people will be excited to see you at the Big League Bash at the Factory on July 27th. I also have to say, Adam, I love tennis, was watching Wimbledon, and then all of a sudden the announcers started talking about Uncle Charlie.
Yeah, that was a fun day. I was actually in Aspen, Colorado. We just got back from a hike, and I was sitting in the room, and was it Taylor Fritz was playing? I think who's playing right now, and I need to tune in because I think it started at 9:30. I think that's actually our other American in there. Anyways, I was watching the match also. And I stepped out of the room for a bit, and then Jake Westbrook, my old teammate, texted me and said, "Dude, they just name-dropped you on the Wimbledon broadcast." I went, "Shut up. No, he did not. I was just watching it. What are you talking about?" He goes, "No, seriously. He goes, hold on. I'll send you the video." So he goes back, and I always call it TiVo, and he looks back at the DVR or whatever, and he sends me the video, and I'm like, "Dude, I turned it off for 5 stinking seconds. You know, but then I sent the tweet out to who was the great commentator who was on there that day? I'll think of it in a second.
Yeah.
I'll think of it in a second. And it was Brad Gilbert was on too. And I sent a tweet out to him. And then, you know, 30 seconds later, I was like, "Jenny, no, seriously, they talked to me." She's like, "Yeah, right." And I'm like, and then all of a sudden he goes, "Look who just texted. Who just tweeted in, the great Adam Wainwright." And I was like, I told you. You know, so that was a cool moment.
Was it Mike Monaco?
Yeah, Mike Monaco.
Yeah, and Brad Gilbert. Well, it's such a collision of worlds because obviously the Cardinals are everything here in St. Louis, and then to hear them talk about it on Wimbledon, very, very cool.
Yeah, and then I talked to Mike Monaco a couple of days later because I was doing a broadcast with Jason Benetti, who's really good friends with Monaco, and we called him, and I got to thank him, you know, for pumping me up on the ESPN Wimbledon broadcast. That was really cool.
I think Monaco's working for the Red Sox, I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, Benetti's great too. So yeah, you've done quite a bit of baseball, you know, broadcasting. How much do you like it?
Say that one more time. You broke up. How much what?
Yeah, how much do you like doing baseball broadcasting?
Well, I really like it because it's a great way to stay in the game without having to spend, you know, these big league coaches get to the park at 11 or 12 and they don't go home till midnight every day. It's tough on a family. So I'm not in that place right now to be able to get away from my family or be away from my family like that. I've already did that. So staying in the game, going to these great venues, watching big league baseball and and talking about it is a really fun challenge. You know, there's a lot of prep that goes into it, but it's prep I can do at home. But you got to be up to date on who's doing good and who's been kind of struggling, or what guys' strengths are and weaknesses are. And that was kind of my favorite part besides competing. My favorite part of pitching in the big leagues was the preparation and learning those hitters and learning the weaknesses of the other team. I prepare for these broadcasts the same way I did when I was pitching.
Do you think you'd ever want to get back to that grind, be a coach in the big leagues and have to get there early and leave late and do all of that again?
I don't know. Sometimes I think yes, and a lot of times I think no, because I like being able to travel and go on vacations, and still need to get over to Italy and eat that good food, and you know, and I still got a lot of places I want to go, and I still got to. By the time I'm an empty nester, I'll be 60 years old. And then by that time, hopefully, I got some grandbabies running around. And so I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to do that. But I do love coaching. I do love helping young pitchers, especially, kind of learn their craft and kind of help them hone in on what they do great. I've had several guys from different organizations fly in to work with me in the off season and just spend a day or two, you know, at the park. That's really fun for me. I love those kinds of things. And I have lots and lots of conversations every year with big league pitchers and minor league pitchers about thought process and you know, mechanical twists. And sometimes on these broadcasts, I get done with one and I go into the manager's office before or after the game and I go, hey, man, I'd love to talk to so-and-so because he's doing this like he should be doing it like this, or hey, his mechanics are off this way. And so many of those managers, trust me, just from coaching against me for a long time, managing against me. So it's been a fun process.
Well, that's interesting. They don't get, you know, they don't feel like you're stepping on toes. They're like, yeah, go ahead. Go talk to him.
No, and I always ask permission, you know, like, Hey, is it all right if I talk to him about this? And most of the time they're all so receptive of it, because if the end goal is not to get your pitcher better and more prepared to be great when the next time he steps on the mound, then you're not the right guy for the job. That should be everybody's end goal, no matter how they get there.
You know, we were talking about that grind, and from what we understand, your old teammate Yadier wants to be a manager, a big league manager someday. At least that's what we hear, and maybe he changes his mind on that. If you, and I'm assuming you think he would be a good manager, what about him would make him that someday?
Yeah, I think he'll be a great manager. He'll have to have some kind of person who can handle the media, maybe, potentially. but as an on-the-field game manager, there won't be a better one than Yachty. Yeah. There just won't be. I mean, he learned from the best. He's learned from a lot of different managers he had. He learned a lot from Jose Oquindo, who would have been an incredible manager himself, by the way. There's so many teams that should have hired Jose Oquindo to be their manager. It's crazy that it didn't happen. Jose would have needed somebody to manage the media too, though.
Yeah.
That would have been the tricky part of that. But I'll tell you, Yadi is the smartest on the field player I ever played with. Baseball wise, it doesn't get any better. Instincts off the charts. Knowledge off the charts, know-how off the charts, understanding of situations off the charts, better than anyone I ever played with. You know, yeah, it goes Yadi, and then like Albert and Jim Edmonds are tied for second, but Yadi's first. And he'll make an incredible one. I always, like, Jenny and I have that conversation. We're like, all right, we have to have our script laid out ahead of us. If Yadi ever called for us to be like the pitching coach, like, here's how we're going to say no, and here's, like, got it all, like, pre-thought out.
That's impressive.
Because you know what the pitch is going to be, and you're going to have to say no to it.
I feel like it's like Mike Tyson. Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And I feel like when Yadi asks, that would be tough. He just commands so much respect. And I imagine even in the clubhouse, it would be hard to think of a manager who would automatically command and have so much respect from the guys in that clubhouse.
Yeah, he would walk in there and it instantly would go quiet, for sure. He would have everybody's attention.
So, Adam, we wanted to have you on to talk about the Big League Bash coming up at the Factory in Chesterfield. It is July 27th, featuring Adam Wainwright and friends. Tell us about this event.
Yeah, July 27th at the Factory in Chesterfield, like you said. I'm going to be performing. I'm going to have Austin Bohannon and Joanna Cotton, two great Nashville recording artists, joining me on stage. They're going to be performing different sets as well. I'm going to be telling some Cardinal stories. We're going to have some meet and greets. We're going to be raising money for Big League Impact, which is a charity that I started back in 2013 that helps alleviate the basic essential needs, food, water, shelter, the things that we take for granted. There's a lot of people in St. Louis and around the globe that are struggling with food insecurity or clean water or clothing or medicine or shelter or anything like that. And that's the kind of situations when those storms hit, that tornado ran through Forest Park and St. Louis area, we were able to come to the aid of a lot of people in need in that situation. We were able to help out a lot of different areas like that. And that's what we exist to do. And also to empower the big league players out there across Major League Baseball to take advantage of the platform they've been given and go out and do great things in their community. We love inspiring big league athletes around Major League Baseball to learn what their passion is and go out there and make a difference in the world. And that's something that we've really taken seriously as well. So July 27th at the Factory, we're going to have a great show. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have some incredible performers on stage. We're going to have some Cardinals players in attendance. But we're also going to be, the main objective is to raise a lot of money for the people that we're trying to serve.
Adam, I know you mentioned some of the essentials that Big League Impact can provide. Do you have like a specific story or stories that you would want to share with the listeners saying, I've seen it with my own eyes, this is what we've done?
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you local stories and I could tell you abroad stories. For a couple years, we partnered with some local schools in the area, and we found out a bunch of food insecure families that the truth of the matter is that a lot of people don't know is so many kids across this country and the world, they eat when they go to school, breakfast, lunch. But when it's not school, when it's summertime, a lot of families don't have any food, and they have a really hard time providing meals for their family. And so we were able to find those families for a few years in a row. We've been doing this. We work with Operation Food Search for a long time to locate those families, provide backpacks full of food delivered every week to those families in need. We've also been over to Haiti with our team for Big League Impact. A couple of different times, been to Honduras, been to Dominican Republic, and to see what we're able to do over there as well with the clean water programs that we've done through Water Mission. There's this one place called Milan in Haiti, and we pulled up on the side of this road one time, and there was this little mud puddle in the middle of the road that everybody was driving through, riding bikes through, donkeys are walking through, dogs are walking through, people are stopping and washing their sandals off in this mud puddle. And then I saw a lady come over with this big yellow bucket and dip it in the thing, fill it up, put it on her head and walk home. And I said, what is she going to use that water for? And they said, everything, cooking, cleaning, washing, everything. And if you were to go back to that exact same spot, Blonde Haiti now, through Big League Impact, we were able to provide a clean water. I don't know what you call it, clean water facility there that provides jobs. But it also, for that little community of 1,500 people, now they have clean water, and so the waterborne illness dropped by 88% in 6 months. And you're talking about when you feel sick from cholera or the other waterborne illnesses, bacteria that's in the water, when you feel sick, you can't go to work, you can't go to school. And now those kids are thriving. And so that, those are kind of some of the things that we've done over the years. And we've helped out a lot of different ways. We've since 2013, we've raised over $11 million for people in need. And we're going to continue to do that.
Well, it's really great work that Big League Impact has done, and the Big League Impact charity receiving the benefit of the Big League Bash, which will be happening July 27th at the Factory in Chesterfield, bigleagueimpact.org for tickets. Adam Wainwright, before we say goodbye, I know that a couple of months ago, or maybe it was just a little over a month ago, there was some sort of polling that suggested you might be a good candidate for Congress. Would you ever, if you don't want to be a coach, would you ever run for Congress?
You know, I was very honored to be included in that situation. I had no idea which party it was that was attempting attempting to get my attention to run.
It was a Democratic Party.
It was, and it didn't matter to me which, because I felt honored either way. To be pursued and to feel wanted, you know. But I'll tell you, I would be a good congressman because I would do what I felt was right, and wouldn't let any of that those party politics or partisan things make decisions for me. But that is also not something that is on my near horizon anyways, but it was cool to be it mentioned in that.
I'll tell you what, if you ever decide to either coach again or run for Congress, will you let us know first?
Oh yeah, I'll call this show. It'll be this show.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
I just told you I would do what's right. Now you're trying to get me to lie on air.
He doesn't even know what show this is.
It doesn't matter. It's very, very good.
It's a great show. No, Adam,
it's a very important show.
Adam, we appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we're looking forward to the Big League Bash on July 27th. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all so much. Appreciate the time.
Again, bigleagueimpact.org if you want tickets for Big League Bash featuring Adam Wainwright and friends. It's at the Factory in Chesterfield, July 27th, and tickets are available there. We are way late for break, but we don't care. We just talked to Adam Wainwright on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Ranj, I don't know if you saw this, but in the news a while back, there was a St. Louis house in Webster Groves that had bats, and one of the bats had rabies.
Oh.
And it was the first case of rabies in a bat in Missouri in 2025. Well, I have a story that we'll talk about in the 11 o'clock hour about the people who lived in that house had to go get rabies shots because there were bats, and you can get bitten by a bat and not know it because their teeth are so microscopically small. And they had to get rabies shots, and the insane insurance disaster that followed, that they're still in the middle of.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. Do you still get the shots in the stomach? Is that how they do it?
I don't know if it's the stomach, but it probably, because they did say it was they're getting series of shots. But out of pocket, Ranj, tens of thousands of dollars.
For the rabies?
For the rabies. So anyway, okay. In 11 o'clock hour, I will detail that.
Is this going to hurt? Yes, very much. Seinfeld.
What is that from? Oh.
Where she thought, Elaine thought she got rabies. I forgot. She got bit by a dog. And the doctor's giving her a shot. She says, this is going to hurt? Yes, very much.